Good morning. I am the Reverend Dr. Teresa Danley. Although many of you have known me since I was Teresa Mithin, a seminarian sponsored for ordination by the cathedral over 15 years ago. This is also the sacred space in which I was ordained twice, married once, and in which my husband Jonathan was baptized during an Easter vigil. So it's always good to be back here among you and to be in this space. Today I am here as part of the Labor in the Pulpits program in my role as the St. Louis Champions Organizer for Missouri Jobs with Justice. This past week we celebrated Labor Day. Labor Day has always been my favorite American holiday. And believe it or not, Labor Day was not created so that we could have barbecues or go to sales at Carroll House Furniture. Labor Day was created by faith communities in the 19th century to honor the labor of all people. Indeed, we in the Episcopal Church even have special readings and a collect in the Book of Common Prayer for Labor Day. The Episcopal Church is not unique, of course, in being one of many faith traditions that strongly support justice for workers and believe that all people deserve to be treated with respect and dignity, that the economy should work for all of us, that all workers should earn enough for life's necessities, and that all people should be cared for and cared about equally. Since 2006, congregations throughout Missouri have participated in the nationwide Labor in the Pulpits program, created by Interfaith Worker Justice, where I myself worked about 20 years ago, to remember and to live into the connections between faith and work and justice. This year, the focus of our Labor in the Pulpits program in Missouri is to educate about raising the minimum wage and democracy reform in Missouri, now known as Prop B and Amendment 1, two ballot initiatives that a large coalition of groups, including Metropolitan Congregations United and Missouri Jobs with Justice, have been working on for many years. Both Prop B and Amendment 1 are supported across the state of Missouri, refreshingly from many different political and religious and philosophical perspectives. Now, almost any text from the Hebrew Scriptures or the Christian Scriptures could be chosen to celebrate Labor in the Pulpits. The Reverend Jim Wallace from Sojourners, an evangelical Christian advocacy organization, has often said that if you were to take a Bible and cut out every passage about economic or social justice, you would be left with shreds in your hands. This is how central justice is to our faith traditions. Another theologian, Dr. Cornel West, has famously said that justice is what love looks like in public. Today's readings are a great gift, but again, they fit within the overarching biblical call for economic and social justice. In Psalm 146, we proclaimed, "Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked." In the portion of the Epistle of James that we heard today, following what James said in the first chapter last week, James makes it clear that the rich and the poor are equal in God's eyes, that those who have more earthly wealth and power are called to share with those who have less, and that everyone is called to confront those who oppress others. James asks his fellow Christians, "My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, And if you take notice of the one, but ignore the other, and say to the person in the fine clothes, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well to fulfill the law according to Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good in that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Perhaps most poignantly, in the Gospel of Mark, we hear the story of the Syrophoenician woman, we don't even know her name, who asked Jesus to heal her daughter of an unclean spirit. And when he refuses, she seems not only to challenge him bravely, but to change his mind and expand his own idea of what his ministry is. She famously says to him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Worshiping God is not simply about how we love the Lord. It's about how we love our neighbors and strangers in thought and word and deed. To worship God includes working for the common good, working for those who must be brave and bold in the face of injustice, working for those who are not yet able to supply their bodily needs, even if they want to. So who are the Syrophoenician women today? Who are the brave people demanding to eat crumbs from the table today? In my experience, many of them are workers making minimum wage, struggling and failing to make ends meet. 1 in 5 Missouri workers, 20%, make minimum wage. That's $300 a week or $16,000 a year working full time. That's simply not enough money to live on as the cost of everything goes up. Over 80% of workers making minimum wage are over the age of 20. It's not just fast food workers or teenagers. It includes childcare workers, home health care workers, all different sectors of the economy. Families throughout the state of Missouri are trying to raise children on the minimum wage. Families throughout the city of St. Louis are trying to raise children on the minimum wage. Most minimum wage workers I know have at least 2 jobs, which means sacrificing time with their families in an effort to keep their families fed and clothed and housed. According to a recent study by the National Low Income Housing Coalition, a minimum wage worker cannot afford a 2-bedroom apartment anywhere in the US, including anywhere in Missouri. When I served as the rector of St. John's in Tower Grove from 2004 to 2016, I met minimum wage workers every day, perhaps in places that might surprise you, in the pews, at vestry meetings, in my office, on the street, at the coffee shop, and in our weekly meal program. I would venture to guess that most of us know at least one adult who works for minimum wage. As I mentioned before, my current employer, Missouri Jobs with Justice, is part of a broad coalition of groups, including Metropolitan Congregations United, working hard to increase the minimum wage across the state of Missouri. And after collecting more than 120,000 signatures from all over the state, including here at Christ Church Cathedral, Proposition B, an increase to the statewide minimum wage, will be on the ballot in Missouri on November 6th. Now, while many of us think that Proposition B is not fast enough and doesn't go far enough, it's far better than what we have now. Prop B would slowly raise the statewide minimum wage from the current $7.85 to $12 an hour by 2023. And this is particularly important because we have learned the hard way that we cannot simply pass a minimum wage increase in St. Louis or Kansas City and have it stick. As you may recall, in August 2015, the St. Louis Board of Aldermen raised the minimum wage from then $7.60 to $10 an hour. Immediately, an 18-month court battle ensued. In May of 2017, the Missouri Supreme Court upheld the St. Louis minimum wage increase as constitutional, and the very next day, legislation was introduced into the Missouri State Legislature to overturn this increase. The legislature said that a St. Louis ordinance could not preempt state law, and that if we wanted to raise the minimum wage, we should do it statewide. And so now we have. For only four months after all that waiting, tens of thousands of workers making minimum wage in the city of St. Louis got some more crumbs from the table. Because of the increase to $10 an hour, some people quit their second jobs or moved into a better housing situation. They had hope for a better future. And then even those crumbs were taken away. Just before Labor Day last year, the minimum wage got rolled back from $10 an hour back to $7.70. I know a lot of women like the Syrophoenician woman, women who bravely advocate for themselves and their children, even though it may cost them everything. Today's Syrophoenician women include women that you see on this bulletin insert, women like Ms. Betty Davis and Ms. Wanda Rogers and Ms. Frances Holmes, all African-American grandmothers working to support their multi-generational families, women who have spent years courageously leading the fight to raise the wage in the city and in the state of Missouri. Ms. Betty and Ms. Wanda and Ms. Frances do not have spare time, and yet they continue to lead the fight to make their lives and their families' lives better. They are struggling to pay rent and put food on the table and spend time with their families. They simply want to eat the crumbs from the table. They aren't asking to become millionaires or even middle class, whatever that means anymore. They want to make enough to meet the basic needs of their families and have some dignity in their jobs. I have wept with Miss Wanda when that wage got rolled back. I have shouted with Miss Betty at Fight for 15 rallies. I have attended a training with Miss Frances and Miss Betty in North Carolina with the Reverend Dr. William Barber. These women have sacrificed a lot to improve the lives for themselves and their own families and for tens of thousands of workers like them. Proposition B would be a good step towards giving them an opportunity to meet the needs of their families with dignity. So what about this other thing, Amendment 1? For groups fighting to get them passed on November 6th, Prop B and Amendment 1 are intimately connected by the stories of women like Frances and Betty and Wanda. When the minimum wage was taken away from them last year, it was an egregious example of lobbyist money directly harming Missouri families. Lobbyists demanded that the Missouri legislature repeal the St. Louis minimum wage, and they did. Missouri is one of the only states that does not have firm limits on lobbyist gifts or transparency about who receives gifts from lobbyists and how much those gifts are. Amendment 1 would eliminate most lobbyist gifts, require politicians to wait for 2 years before becoming lobbyists, lower campaign contribution limits, stop legislative fundraising on state property, require that legislative records be open to the public, and ensure that no one is given an unfair advantage when legislative maps are drawn after the next census. In short, Amendment 1 puts Missourians like Wanda and Betty and Francis before big donors and lobbyists and politics. This week, this Labor Day week, I hope that you will be inspired to make the connection between your faith and your works, to paraphrase James. I hope that you will be inspired to be brave and speak up like the Syrophoenician woman, like Betty and Miss Wanda and Miss Francis. I hope that you will be inspired to learn more about increasing the minimum wage statewide and implementing meaningful democracy reform in Missouri. There's more information in your bulletin insert and on this voter pledge card, and I'm happy to talk more after the service. Please do whatever you feel is right in your own life and the life of your family to make a commitment to help Missouri become a more just and equitable place to live and work and raise a family. And now I will close with the collect for Labor Day. Almighty God, you have so linked our lives with one another that all we do affects, for good or ill, all other lives. So guide us in the work we do, that we may do it not for self alone, but for the common good. And as we seek a proper return for our own labor, make us mindful of the rightful aspirations of other workers and arouse our concern for those who are out of work and underpaid. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.